House Geeks Real Estate Show is sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. I'm Kirk Duckwell. Joining me is Chad Vandelot, and we are the House Geeks. Check us out online at housegeeks.com and follow us on our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks, look for the little house and glasses. There you will see upcoming classes, events, Funny Photo Friday, and a whole bunch more information for anybody who's just curious about the real estate market, wants more information, or just wants to find the best tools and resources when they're searching for properties or looking to get ready to sell. Today, we have Mike DeVito with Vito Mechanical. Thank you for coming in, Mike. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We're going to be talking today about kind of HVAC and plumbing issues, things that we see out in the field as we're going through homes with buyers or getting sellers ready to put their homes on the market, good things to do ahead of time. Just kind of real quick, what's your background in this business?
Well, we've been in plumbing, heating our whole life. It was started out of a family-owned business, me and my brothers. Today, I'm the president of Vito Mechanical Contractors Incorporated. We're based in Eagan, Minnesota. We do a full-service line of work from commercial, residential, remodeling, repairs and service-type work. We do sewer, water, utility work from outside to inside to home, plumbing, heating, forced air, sheet metal, duct work, hot water, heat with boilers. We're steam boilers, which you don't see much steam around other than laundry mats nowadays or process companies that use it in process industrial type work. So
I've run across just some of the bigger condo buildings still utilize steam heat.
They do. Yes, they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's with the district heat, City of St. Paul and Minneapolis have those projects where they pump steam and cooling through the streets for big commercial buildings and condo projects and stuff like that. It's quite big in Europe, and that's where the concept started back in, I believe, the early 80s around here. St. Paul was one of the first cities to jump on it in the United States and implement it.
Yeah, because we have the steam power plant right over here. Yeah.
Correct. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. So kind of jumping in right away, into something that we see quite often, and this has to do more with sellers, but you know, somebody trying to save a quick buck, you know, not wanting to pull a permit. And this is an issue because, you know, whether it's just after somebody's bought the home, they start doing work and they're trying to save some money, so they're not pulling permits. You know, this is something that they'll need to disclose when it comes to their seller's disclosure. I mean, from what you've seen, is anybody really saving when they're doing that? And what is some of the risks?
They're not really saving any money in the long run. The risks are great. Being a contractor, any licensed, bonded, insured contractor, it's pretty black and white. We know the law. You have to pull a permit. But you're right. Today, as these cities, their budgets get tighter, and their costs for doing business in a city goes up, they keep continually raising permit fees. They used to raise permit fees once a year, about the first of every year. Now they're raising them 2-3 times a year. May 1st, Minneapolis is going to have another price increase on their permits. And St. Paul will probably follow suit too. Mm-hmm. So as the cost of permits go up, people tend to shy away from that. And the other thing, especially with an older home, they're worried about the inspector coming in and looking at other things that aren't on the permit and maybe saying to them or getting them in trouble or wanting them to fix this other stuff and spend more money. So it's getting to be...
Is that a realistic concern, though, that an inspector is going to come in?
No.
Okay. No. Yeah, and that's what I kind of figured.
It's not. But people tend to believe that, and they get paranoid, especially with older homes. And but as time goes on and these permit fees go higher and higher, people tend to want to shy away from the permits. And it's getting to the point where you have to argue with the people about the permit.
Oh, yeah.
And we always separate on our proposals what the permit would be, you know, the labor, material, and then the permit fee. And once they see that, they tend not to want to pay that permit fee.
Right.
And a lot of times we walk away from jobs, especially if it's a heating job where,
right.
or a gas job where you have to gas piping, where you have to have an inspector come in and inspect it. Because it could come back to haunt the contractor. You know, it's really a kiss of death for the contractor not to follow through and get those permits.
Right, because you're the one who's liable right. for the work.
And the part you mentioned, saving money, they might save it then, but later on down the road when you try to sell the home and mm-hmm. like a realtor comes in and said, oh, you got a new furnace, did you get it professionally installed and is there a permit? Mm-hmm. And if they say, well, no, there's no permit, then they have to pay again to have another contractor come in and check it and recertify it and inspect it and have it all done
right,
over
there can be,
again.
There can be added costs there.
Right.
And I mean, I know it doesn't...
In Minnesota disclosures, there's actually a question right on the disclosure forms. Now, in Minnesota, you typically sell a house with disclosures. And you answer a series of questions. And if you don't knowingly answer those questions incorrectly, then you can be liable for the next 2 years after the sale of the house. Mm-hmm. And that's something that not a lot of people think about, trying to save an extra $150 on a job is, if
yeah,
you
I mean,
go
there,
to sell that property, it kind of puts a big red flag right out from the beginning when you put your house on the market.
Yeah, and it's hard to say for sure that it's necessarily going to be a problem. I mean, some buyers may look past it and it doesn't bother them, but the what if? I mean, it could potentially be a lot more than $150. You know, like you say, if somebody right. has to come back out, or just a buyer that would have made an offer, a good offer, is now scared away. Mm-hmm. You know, and that could be in the thousands of dollars, especially in the market the way it is now. Yeah. I think to your point regarding, you know, inspectors coming in, I think there's a common misconception out there that things have to be up to code. Right? That Correct. Doesn't matter what the age of the house is, that it has to be up to code. And realistically, the only code that applies is the code that was there at the time the house was built. Now, granted, if you're doing something new, that new thing that you're adding needs to be to that new current code. But they're not going to come in and be like, oh, that's not up to code when the house is built. And so now you have to change that. Otherwise, almost every house would have to be ripped to the ground and rebuilt.
Yeah, if you're getting a new furnace, they're not going to make you change the rise and run of your stairs in your house.
Exactly.
Or if you're changing some plumbing out, they're not going to look at your boiler and make you put in a new boiler.
Right.
Correct.
Yep. So, you know, another cost-saving measure that I've always been kind of curious about, because I've heard that, you know, quite a few of off-brand furnaces, off-brand water heaters, whatever, really the name brand ones that might just be the older model and they just change out the stickers on them a year or two later. So this question is kind of geared towards that assumption, but also, you know, are there benefits to name brand versus off-brand stuff? And have you seen, like, ones that are better or worse than others?
Yeah, there's a whole variety of hot water heaters out there, from expensive, medium cost to cheap. And the first part of your question, yes, there is a benefit to a better hot water heater. You get, like most of the top brand hot water heaters, you get a 6-year warranty, and you can buy up to a 10-year warranty. And usually those are unconditional warranties, meaning if something's wrong, you unhook it, you take it back to the manufacturer or Home Depot or Lowe's, and they'll give you another brand new one, which is a nice safety factor. But, you know, everybody looks to save money, so there are cheaper ones out there.
Is it the same with furnaces and boilers
yes,
as well?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The same.
Do you see, like, big spreads in life expectancy between the brand name versus the off-brand, whatever it might be?
Yeah, we just, it's a matter of years, you know, like a good hot water heater, for example, might last you 12 to 15 years, where a cheap one, Menards sells that Richmond brand, they're good for 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
And there's trouble.
Wow.
So, yeah, but that's a $200. $199 hot water heater versus a $400, $500, $600 hot water heater. So there's a big difference.
So you're gonna, you know, you spend a little bit now, you're gonna get like three times the life out.
Exactly.
Of it. Yeah.
I was talking to another HVAC contractor, and this is the first time I had heard this, but he was telling me that there's only a couple American-made furnaces and air conditioners. versus a lot of them made overseas. And he was saying that your ability to do repair work versus replacement work is heavily dependent on the accessibility of parts for these devices or these appliances. And he was telling me that the American-made ones are so much easier to get parts on, so your likelihood of having them replaced versus repaired.
Is that like Carrier and those places? Yeah, Carrier is local, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, especially true with appliances. I think it hit the appliance industry really hard because you look at all these appliances, they're all being made overseas nowadays. Furnaces. A lot of furnaces are still made in the U.S., but air conditioners, a lot of these, especially these mini splits, they all come from China, Japan, and parts are hard to get for them.
What do you typically see, like, for service life on a really quality furnace, usually?
You can get anywhere from 20 to 30 years if you maintain it and take good care of it, and it's in a decent environment, meaning, you know, we had one instance, a lady had a kiln in a pottery shop in her basement, and the furnace was, every year we go and have to completely clean it because it was all full of dust and pottery gunk.
Yep.
Well, that furnace only lasted about 7 years, you know, in that environment.
But, well, I definitely, when we get back from the commercial break, talk a little bit more about furnace maintenance. It's great to hear you say that 20 to 30 years, because I think a lot of people think 15, 20 on it, and you definitely see a difference there. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you've got any questions for us, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. We'll be right back. Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make, so keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Trappers use baited snares to choke animals to death. They're cheap and easy. Snares are banned in 20 states. Snares can't discriminate between wild animals and our pets. Your dog could die silently in a snare just yards away. Most Minnesotans oppose trapping, and our leaders cringe at the slightest mention of it, and yet it continues. Let's ban snaring and leave a legacy Minnesota can be proud of. Please contact the governor and your lawmakers. Do it now, today. Together we can ban the snare. Learn more at standagainstsnaring.com.
The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running April 27th, 28th, and 29th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 350 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. When you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the St. Paul Art Crawl.org. That's the St. Paul Art Crawl.org.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting homebuyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Today, talking about HVAC and plumbing issues that we see, we have Mike DeVito with Vito Mechanical. Thank you again for coming in today and discussing some of our questions that we've had. We're kind of leaving off on furnace life expectancy, and you're saying, 20 to 30 years. I always see probably maybe one or two a year where you get these furnaces that date back to the 50s or right, something like your 60s.
Oh, they're still out there.
Yeah, big old tanks. But a lot of people, I think, just automatically assume, you get to that 15-year mark somewhere in there. Oh, I got a budget for replacement. And I think the big thing, it's how well has it been maintained?
Exactly.
And what's the environment that furnace is in? You mentioned right. They had the kiln down in the basement of a pottery shop. And so all this just dust is constantly getting in there.
Or the litter box right next to the furnace, sucking in the dust.
Yeah. It's a very common one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll pop open, I typically, when I go around to a house, I'll take the cover off and just look and see what I see,
And sometimes you see dirt and dust and dog hair.
I have one.
And
yes,
cat hair.
I have one on my phone of I'm going to use for a funny photo Friday coming up. It is. Yeah. It looked like about a half inch of dust and whatnot on there. But, that maintaining it and really coming down to the environment that furnace, boiler, whatever it is in. How detrimental do you think it is to have either what I would say is a wet basement or a high humidity basement to a furnace?
It's very damaging to a furnace, especially high efficiencies furnaces, especially if you have a wet basement. For example, like along West 7th Street here.
There's a couple streets.
These are all rock basements, and the water seeps through the wall, and it's wet and it's damp. Mm-hmm. So you need high efficiency furnaces and boilers do not do well in this environment. They're always damp and moist. Things short out. Your old 80% type furnaces and boilers do very well here because they have a pilot light, and the pilot light stays on and keeps everything dry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The industry has changed, though, where a lot of the boilers and furnaces and appliances, they don't have a standing pilot anymore. It's when it calls for heat, it kicks on, it runs. Mm-hmm. But overall, high efficiencies don't do well in bad climates, damp or dusty basements or rooms or stuff like that.
What do you think about, we discussed a little bit before the show about humidity in like a humidifier. Mm-hmm. Is that something too where somebody can have it turned up too high and cause issues with, how long something might last? Because
sure, absolutely. Yeah. Humidity is a big thing in this day and age in homes, with all the health problems with people. And if it's too high, you get moisture on the windows. People worry. Today, a lot of homes have hardwood floors, and different hardwood floors, if you don't have enough humidity or the right amount of humidity, they'll split and crack. I think Chad mentioned that. And I know one of the prime hardwood floors is birch. We see that a lot in people's homes if they had birch floors, especially in the kitchen and stuff like that, where they have cracks and splits in them. But in this climate in Minnesota, we change climates every three times a year. So it's a continuing battle with humidity here.
Three times a year? Have you seen what's going on outside right now? Thought it was like 60 degrees a couple weeks ago.
But our humidity in this part of the country is it's a full-time job to keep track of it and keep adjusting your humidity controls, your humidistat controls, I should say. But it's a big thing. And the tighter they build the newer homes, it's harder to control it.
Right.
That's another thing.
Yeah, well, about once or twice a year, I get a call from a previous client, and it's usually in reference to a vaulted ceiling and at the peak. They'll give me a call up and send me a picture showing a crack that has formed where the drywall and the peak meets, and they're wondering what's wrong with their house because that crack wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically due to the changing humidity and heat. You know, in the winter, it's really dry
right, with
newer, and
newer homes, we see that a lot. Yes.
It's really dry and cold. And in the summer, it's really humid and warm. And these houses move. They're built with, they're made out of wood. And you put moisture into wood and it swells. You take that moisture out of the wood and it separates so that specifically in the peaks, you'll see the drywall seam sort of separate. And then in the summer, you'll see it close back up again oftentimes. Mm-hmm. But you can avoid some of that by adjusting that humidity control on your furnace. A lot of people don't know where it is, and it's been in the same spot for the last 8 years. But that's a really important thing to kind of educate yourself on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you discussed a little bit about high efficiency. And I remember talking to somebody who worked for CenterPoint, and they were saying, gosh, these high-efficiency furnaces, I go out on more calls to repair these things than anything else, and give me an 80% efficient furnace any day of the week. You know, so at what point is there really a benefit? I mean, if you're constantly repairing it or whatever, is there a cost-benefit analysis, do you think?
That's a tough question because everybody wants to be high efficient and they want to save money, and that's what sells high efficiency. The first thing people forget about the standard 80% type furnace. You're right. Those 80% furnaces, you put them in, you walk away. Maybe once a year, check it, clean it, change a filter. Very low maintenance. High efficiencies, after 3 to 5 years, you're going to start having problems with them. Usually the first thing to go with high efficiency is the igniter. It burns mm-hmm. out. It needs to be replaced. A lot of the parts in the high efficiencies come from overseas or Mexico or Taiwan. The sub-assembly parts, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yep.
And those are the parts that fail. And it's an expensive furnace, and it takes maintenance to keep it going.
Yeah, I kept having a computer panel. It was every year. It was one of those old mm-hmm. Pulse 90s or something. Yeah. Yeah. Every year, that green computer panel would fry out and have to be so $400 a year I'm spending on this high-efficiency furnace. I sure didn't seem all that efficient to me. Real quick, before we take in our commercial break, so what do you think, just out of curiosity, what is more efficient, a furnace or a boiler as far as heating?
Well, boilers heat a lot better because there's no dust. The hot water heat is a clean heat. There's no dust. It heats to the heat through convection. So mm-hmm. it heats everything in the room. Like a furnace, it heats up. The air rises 3-4 feet off the floor. Somebody opens, the thermostat shuts off. Somebody opens a door or window, the air drops, okay? Where that doesn't happen with hot water heat. Everything in the room stays warm and cozy. And even if the boiler shuts off, you go
the
back.
The pipes still stay warm,
right?
Yeah.
You go back in a half hour, an hour, put your hand on that radiator or the pipes, they're still warm, giving off heat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, by far, hot water heat's the best heat and the cleanest heat. You know.
Well, I think we see. But you say that the same is true with, like, heated floors then, by water heating the floor?
Yeah, it's the same principle. It's more even heat because mm-hmm. it's evenly spaced throughout the floor.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break. Shoot us a call, 612-207-5388. If you have any questions, we'll be right back.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Trappers use baited snares to choke animals to death. They're cheap and easy. Snares are banned in 20 states. Snares can't discriminate between wild animals and our pets. Your dog could die silently in a snare just yards away. Most Minnesotans oppose trapping, and our leaders cringe at the slightest mention of it, and yet it continues. Let's ban snaring and leave a legacy Minnesota can be proud of. Please contact the governor and your lawmakers. Do it now, today. Together we can ban the snare. Learn more at standagainstsnaring.com.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall from the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. As many of you may know, home values are up for the fifth straight year in our area. Are you now thinking about selling and curious what your home is worth in today's seller's market? Then check out HouseGeeks.com. At HouseGeeks.com, you will find the best free home evaluation tools in the Twin Cities. You will also find many other great resources for tracking our market or just your local neighborhood. Again, that is at HouseGeeks.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Sunday, snow likely, high near 29. Monday, chance of snow, high near 36. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 38. The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl CDs and DVDs from now through April 17th and receive an extra 50% off based on the quote if you choose store credit. Find Electric Fetus just south of downtown Minneapolis at 2000 4th Avenue South.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. Make sure you check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest searching and researching tools. Follow us on our Facebook page where you can record us, watch us record live most Tuesdays. Today we have Mike DeVito in studio with us with Vito Mechanical, talking about some of the common issues that we see regarding HVAC, heating, air conditioning, ventilation systems. And we're going to get in a little bit of plumbing here in a couple minutes. But finishing up with furnaces, I mean, this is one of the biggest things we run into. You know, we always hear things like, well, the heat exchanger is cracked, you got to replace the whole furnace. Is that really the case typically, or?
Well, it depends on how old the furnace is. Usually furnaces here in Minnesota usually last 25 to 30 years. That's a life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We run our furnace 7-8 months a year here in Minnesota.
Or like 11 months this year.
Yeah, it's going to change this year. But usually when a furnace gets about 15 years, people want it inspected or an RSET test, a flue analysis gas test on it to see if it's leaking any CO, if the heat exchanger is cracked. That's mainly what they look for, and I think you guys run into that on your inspections. Mm-hmm. Some are good and some are bad. Not all heat exchangers. Today, most manufacturers gone with a stainless steel heat exchanger, where years back they had the welded steel type mm-hmm. heat exchangers. So they've come a long way in that industry, making them better.
Well, and now
isn't it the case that if there is a crack, it's negative pressure typically at the heat exchanger, so it shouldn't be putting CO out, but if anything, just maybe bringing more air in?
Well, it brings more air in. You can tell right away. If you look at the flame or the burner, mm-hmm. you'll see the flame jumping and bouncing all around, so you know there's a crack in the heat exchanger. If you have a good eye and you've been doing it for a long time and you're knowledgeable, you don't even have to take out your test equipment on an older furnace, mm-hmm. say 15 years.
The old ribbon 20, style?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You can look in that burner assembly and see how that flame is acting to get a sense of where it's at or if there's a slight crack in there. And then that gives you a starting point to start on. But it should be checked for safety, you know.
Would you say that it is a case of the, I mean, I've only, I think, maybe twice in my career seen a heat exchanger actually be replaced versus right. them just replacing them, the furnace.
Furnace, right. Well, most people, again, it's based on years. If you had a furnace and was 5, maybe 10 years old, it's worth it to replace a heat exchanger. Okay. Like I said, that 15-year is the magic number.
You okay, know? So if it gets most older people, than that, then you're yeah. probably going to want to replace the whole thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Most people, chances are if the heat exchanger's cracked, somebody hasn't been taking care of that furnace, and it's probably looking kind of dungy and gringy and dirty, and most people want a new furnace altogether.
Well, that kind of leads, great segue into my next thing, which is that furnace maintenance. You know, if you want to get that 20 to 30 years out of it, how critical is that?
Oh, it's maintenance is very critical. It's the same as changing oil and taking care of your car.
Why would you do that?
You should at least have a service call once a year by a contractor mm-hmm. and have it checked out. And then you should change your furnace filter at least once a month, like the first of every month. Just buy a box of inexpensive filters, and the first of every month, change it out. A lot of people go with these 3M expensive filters where they spray them with yellow sticky stuff so they collect all the dust and particles. The problem with that, within about 2 weeks, the furnace's filter's all plugged up. The furnace overheats and shuts down.
Because yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that those are actually harder on your furnaces.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's fan motors or whatever, that yeah, right. it can cause problems there.
A lot of damage. The first thing it does is overheat the fan motor and burns that out. So I'd recommend just a cheap, inexpensive filter, pleated filter. You can get them at Menards or Home Depot or Lowell's, a box of them, probably 80 to 90 cents, a dollar a piece, and change it every month.
And then while you're down there, check out your humidity controls, too, and see if you have your humidity controls set to the, you know, to the specific temperature and humidity that's currently being experienced.
Yeah, we definitely see our fair share of not maintained. We were talking about the filters that are, you know, thick yeah. as mud, and they're bent, bowed in because they haven't collecting so much dust and the furnace can't work right.
You know, and people think more about their furnace because the furnace has a filter, so there's something you can actively do once a month or once every 8 months where most people change them.
You're not getting towards the AC, are you?
The AC also needs maintenance, even though it doesn't have a furnace. And what kind of things can you do to extend the life expectancy of your AC?
Number one is usually the condenser unit outside. That should be cleaned off and hosed off once a year with a garden hose. A lot of people tend to, when they cut their grass, they let the weeds grow up around it and they smother it. And they blow shavings in it, weeds grow in it, the animals might walk by and do their business on it.
Bird nests,
bee nests. It's very important to keep that condenser outside clean, to keep those coils clean. And that can be done with a garden hose. They sell coil cleaner to spray on, and then you let it sit for a couple minutes and you hose it off with a garden hose, or just a basic garden hose, or pull the weeds or any debris around it. We've seen some jobs where people build a patio deck over the condenser. Mm. They end up burning out the motors and burning out the unit. People forget that unit outside needs air to flow through it. That's what cools the Freon coming back from the A-coil. But so it's got to be maintained and cleaned and free of debris, and it can't be really blocked, so to speak.
How about covering it in the winter? I see some people covering them. I see a lot of them exposed. What's your thoughts on that?
I always like a cover here in Minnesota just because our harsh winters and ice, and usually they're up against a house, or maybe they're in a valley, underneath a valley or an eave. And I've seen some bad ones where it looked like a block of ice come, you know, in the winter. You're walking up the
back door. Just drips right on it. And just
yeah, you see that a lot. And even if it's to put a plastic black bag over it, or a canvas cover, or a trash can, something to keep all that off of it. The trouble with all that ice and build up on it, or rain falling on it, it could short out the controls. It's they're sensitive. You know, they got electronics in them, and it can do a lot of damage come springtime if that stuff corrodes or shorts out. Mm-hmm. You know. So.
How about being level? The inspectors always like to make sure that the air conditioning units are level.
Yeah, that's a very important thing you brought up, Chad. Levelness is critical on the unit outside because of the compressor, the oil in the compressor. And if you just drive around, especially apartment complexes, and you'll look outside, everyone is tilted. Mm-hmm. Because they put them down when they build these homes or complexes, they put them down real quick and fast. The ground hasn't settled, and before you know it, it's kittywampus out there. And what's going to happen in about 2 or 3 years, that compressor will burn out because oil is not flowing through it evenly and correctly. What you see today in a lot of these new developments, they're putting these harnesses or these brackets on the side of homes and slipping them on, which is good in one way. But it's bad in another, because that unit vibrates and shakes out there, and sooner or later it's going to crack that siding or loosen those bolts. I'm talking a period of years, because we only run our ACs about 3-4 mm-hmm. months a year here in Minnesota. But in time, it will shake and vibrate, and stuff will happen on the side of that home, you know. But
you were also talking about airflow, and if I'm picturing it right in my head, they're put up pretty tight to the home when they have those brackets on there. Is that restricting the airflow as well? Because one of the whole sides is now.
Yeah, absolutely. What the code says is, if you put a new air conditioner in, you need to leave at least 12 inches away from the house, so a service tech or a maintenance guy can walk behind it or kneel down behind it. Usually we keep them 18 inches to 2 feet, so you can actually get behind them and work on them. But the other problem is people don't want them that far out in their yard, interfering with their landscaping. Everybody wants or thinks they should be super tight up against the house, which is causing another problem, you know. So.
Well, I want to kind of switch gears, get into some plumbing a little bit. So, you know, we deal a lot here in the Twin Cities with older homes, you know, stuff, you know, pre-1950s, so, you know, prior to copper and today's codes or whatever it might be. What are some of the most common issues that you see that may not be issues, and then issues that might actually be a real concern?
Well, older homes, like you mentioned, 1950s, and that were all galvanized piping, as you know, and they're susceptible to plugging up. And with galvanized plumbing in the older homes, the hot water side will plug up quicker than the cold water side due to the chemical reaction.
I've had some people that'll always, it was proposed one time by a contractor to, you know, just change the elbow at the hot water heater to increase the flow. Is it that simple, or is it usually a lot more in-depth with galvanized?
No, it's more in-depth. If they have problems at the hot water heater with the elbow, they for sure got other problems throughout the system, especially on the verticals, because they tend to plug up too also.
Really? Okay, so yeah. All right. Yeah, I get a lot of people, just replace the horizontals. That's the only spot it's going to happen.
Yeah. That rust and particles move through that whole piping system, and sooner or later they're going to plug up the faucets. You see that, where the water pressure dies down to nothing, especially on the hot side. So the minute you open that hot side faucet and you see that there's a big lack of water pressure, you know right away that the whole system needs a redone, a remodel, a rework, or replaced. But it's pretty bad, you know.
Typically best just to do it all versus just the hot side then,
I would recommend it. If you're going to pay a plumber to come in and do it, you might as well do the hot and cold and be done with it, because the cold is going to follow suit and be just as bad in time, you know. So,
what about, you know, unvented pipes?
Yes.
Like unvented drains. we see this is one that comes up all the time. And if you need more time, we got just about a minute before our next break, but
yeah, it's a big thing. I see it a lot too. Just about, especially in people's basements, they hook up a sink or there's a sink and they never vented it. And you can tell right away that it's not vented, just the way the water drains. It doesn't swirl around and be sucked out. It bubbles back. It goes clump, 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 like you're dumping out a bottle of water.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
It's a common thing. People venting, I think, because a lot of people don't want to spend the time or the effort or do it right, do the job right. You see a lot of homeowners do it yourselfer and they don't understand
right.
venting and drainage and stuff. But that's a common thing. Even today, we see it a lot.
Really? And people still doing it without venting.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online, housegeeks.com. We'll be right back. Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make. So keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Hi, I'm Damian Strange, Executive Director of Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, NEMA, and I'm personally inviting you to Art World May 18th through the 20th. View artwork of over 650 artists in every medium at more than 50 locations throughout Northeast Minneapolis, including studio buildings, art galleries, homes, storefronts, and local businesses. The Artist Open Studio Tour may include demonstrations, mini workshops, installations, and special exhibitions. Studio tours offer a great opportunity to ask questions, discuss techniques, experience art firsthand, and purchase unique artwork directly from artists. Arterworld gives you a unique opportunity to meet the artists who make our community so vibrant and invest in our art community by purchasing artwork that you connect with. For more information, go to NEMAA.org. That's NEMA.org. Looking forward to seeing you at Arterworld.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. you have any questions for us after the show, thinking about buying or selling a house, and have some questions or looking for some help, please feel free to reach out. 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Today, talking about common issues with heating, AC, and plumbing, especially with older homes. We have Mike DeVito with Vito Mechanical in here. And yeah, we kind of left off talking about venting of pipes. You know, where I've seen it a lot is going back to those homes pre-1950 or something like that, where it's the toilet in the basement, or like you said, a sink in the basement, something like that. Was there a time where venting just it wasn't required, or is it always been somebody just being cheap?
Yeah, no, it's always been required. It's,
okay.
It comes back to the being cheap or not knowing how to do
right.
it. But it's funny you say that, because today some manufacturers make a little inline vent you can screw onto your sink or your shower or your toilet. Because it is such a problem, and there is a need for a vent. It's like a man-made type vent. It's an inline type device, and it's, I think it's $12 to $15.
What do you mean inline? How does it work?
You screw it in on top of the sink, on top of the drain pipe under the sink, and it chatters. It has a ball in there, and it makes a little noise, and it chatters when the water runs through, and it allows a certain amount of air to come in, and the sink or shower to drain properly. But that's tells you how big of a problem venting is.
So is that an actual like code compliant fix then?
Well, first it was against the code, and then the code kind of adopted it. So it's kind of in between. Some cities, municipalities will accept it. Some of the bigger cities won't accept it because they want the job done and done right.
Uh-huh.
Like St. Paul, Minneapolis. But the farther away from the metropolitan area you get, the small towns or suburbs, they let a lot of things go. You know,
yeah.
They're not as strict on the codes and stuff. So.
Another thing I've been running into in regards to plumbing, and more so in homes that have been vacant for a little while, but even some where there's people living in it, is you go downstairs and you smell that sewer gas coming out of the floor drains or out of a bathroom drain. You know, it'll have this sulfur smell, and it makes some of my clients a little nervous that it might be a natural gas leak. But over time, I've come to realize that in these bathrooms or floor drains that aren't being used, the water's drying out.
Right.
And you're actually getting exposed to potentially harmful sewer gas in
Correct.
Your house. And
yeah.
I think that's yeah. something that a lot of people aren't aware of or pay
right.
attention to.
And that's because as the furnace and the boilers, the heating systems run, they dry that water out in the trap. But if you back up a little farther, it relates back to the venting not being the right size or not the proper venting. Or a lot of times in Minnesota, there could be snow and ice plugging the venting pipe on the roof, or birds or squirrels make a nest in the vent pipe with leaves and stuff, and they restrict the airflow down the vent. So now you're restricting that airflow, and pretty soon that water starts evaporating and traps in the basement, because that's the lowest point where the furnace and boiler is, and they're all shut up, and pretty soon it evaporates enough to break that water seal. Now you got sewer gas spilling in and smelling. You see that a lot, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, and that can't be good to breathe either.
No.
Are there some health concerns with that?
Yes,
well, isn't that what
so.
Isn't that kind of what's happening when you have the unvented pipe, that it's actually
yes.
cycling the air up from the
correct
yeah and
yep.
that's the health
yeah
health part
and
yeah.
To fix that is a pretty easy fix. You just pour some water down
right
pour some water down your drains every now and again, right? And then you can
correct.
Save your family
yeah.
from breathing in sewer gas
yeah.
And another time I've seen it, I think, is in older homes when there's a clean out that like Roto-Rooter might use. And sometimes those are hard to get out and get back in.
Right.
So I'll smell some sewer gas and I'll look down there and the clean out is laying,
the
plug is yeah. sitting right by the
yeah.
by the drain maybe.
Yeah.
Man, we're just a Segway Kings here today. getting into the clean outs, the main line. So yeah, you know, we are seeing more and more home buyers, agents, especially St. Paul, Minneapolis, requesting mainline sewer scopes.
Right.
You know, and Chad, you brought up a great example of you know, two different people that are looking at the scope footage, arguing with each other. What is, you know, one representing the seller, one representing the buyer, and I'm pretty sure that I can guess whose opinion was whose in this battle. But things like where it's, you know, you have an offset, you know, or roots going in. How big a problem are things like that?
It's a huge problem. Like we were talking earlier, anytime you have an offset in a drainage system on a main sewer line, you're going to have trouble because it's offset and it's collecting things.
Catching crap.
It's holding literally up. Yeah. So it is a big problem. You're absolutely right. And you see a lot of that because here in Minnesota, the ground shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And when it shifts, expansion and contraction in the spring and in the summer and in the fall, especially in the spring, that's when those offsets pop up because the sewer lines shift. The longer the run, the more problems you're going to have because they need a quarter inch pitch per foot. So the average home is set back 30 feet from the house.
Yep.
And then figure another 10 feet maybe to the get-in where the sewer line comes down in the basement. So you're talking about a 40-foot run out to the boulevard, which is quite a distance. But a lot of times there might be a twist or a turn. But you always try to take the most straightest shot with the least amount of twists and turns or bends in it,
right,
for sewage, you know. So.
So do you notice with, like, because I'm assuming everything's PVC now, right?
Correct.
They'll replace it with. I mean, yeah. And I'm assuming it's been that way since, what, the 60s, 70s maybe?
Right around the 70s.
Yeah.
Sewer lines originally started out clay tile.
Yep. Okay. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the problems.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of problems. Then they went to cast iron.
Yep.
Okay. And now PVC. Clay tile cracks. That's the problem. And the joints, when the ground shifts and settles, those joints crack, and then tree roots get in them and form and grow, and they get big and they burst the pipe or crack the pipe. They plug it up first, and then as the waste passes through, that plugs up, and it just builds off of that till it gets to the point where it cracks the pipe, and it's nothing but a problem.
And it's a pretty expensive fix, you know, for somebody. Yes. So, I mean, it should be taken pretty seriously. Yeah. I have so many more questions I'd love to get into here, but our time is basically up. So I wanted to thank you again for coming out, Mike DeVito with Vito Mechanical. If you are interested in finding out more about the services he provides, you can give a call at 612-309-3066. Again, 612-309-3066. That's plumbing, heating, air conditioning, refrigeration, sheet metal, and drain cleaning, which we... and also check us out online at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest searching and researching tools. Follow us on our Facebook page. If you have any questions for us after the show, you can give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Thank you again, Mike, for coming in today.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. We'll be back next week.